supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is resorting to Ahlul Bayt.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran
Today, Monday, is the 10th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter Ibrahim, verse 37.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytikal muharram ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون.
Our Lord, I have settled some of my descendants in an uncultivated valley near your sacred house, our Lord, that they may establish prayer. So make hearts among the people inclined toward them, and provide for them from the fruits that they might be grateful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When Allah bestowed Ismail to Ibrahim in his old age, he commanded him to settle the child with his mother in Mecca. Ibrahim obeyed the divine order and then he prayed for them. Some Islamic questions denote that Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, said, "We are the Ahlul Bayt of the Messenger of Allah and the remaining descendants of Ibrahim. That is why the people's hearts are inclined towards us."
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Question of this part of today's special. Why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? The Shia believe that imamate is a continuation of prophethood, the only difference being that the Prophet is the founder of religion and receives revelation, while the Imam is responsible for explaining, clarifying, and preserving religion. Therefore, the Imam is equal to the Prophet in everything except in receiving revelation. Everything that the Prophet must possess, such as a profound knowledge of the fundamentals and branches of Islam and its teachings, are also possessed by the Imam. One of those requirements being infallibility and invulnerability to sin and even error, since there is no way for us to be able to identify one who is infallible. There is no choice but for Allah or the Prophet to do so and introduce him, as goes with prophethood. Therefore, both prophets and imams have to be appointed by Allah, the Almighty.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wabin Ista'in. In this episode, we are going to discuss some important aspects of seeking support of the infallible imams. It's also indicated that in a piece of hadith, the sixth infallible imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, indicated, "Nahnu kahful liman iltaja ilayna." We are the supportive cave of whoever takes refuge in us. I mean, comes to us, appeals to us. There's also another piece of hadith from the first infallible Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, In that he indicated it in this way, أنا عالم الهدى وكهف التقى. I am the banner, I am the flag of guidance and the كهف التقى, the supportive cave for the pious people. At the same time, we find that in a piece of hadith related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he referred to the third infallible Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and described Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, أما الحسين فإنه مني. As for Imam al-Husayn, he is from me. That is, he is my grandson. وكهف المستجيرين, and the cave of those people who appeal to him. Also, we find that in the 47th supplication in Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, which is a collection of the prayers offered by the fourth infallible Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, we find that he refers to the infallible Imams or any infallible Imam as Kahf al-Mu'mineen, means the supportive cave for believers. And this indicates that not only for Muslims, but even true believers in all religions may take refuge and may appeal to the infallible Imams, because the guidance of the infallible Imams are not limited or restricted to only Shi'is or Muslims. Rather, the guidance and support of the infallible Imams are available for everybody, for whoever appeals to them.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
And the previous episodes of today's special, we spoke a little about tawassul, or resorting to intermediary. Now, the continuation of it. Two things which distinguishes tawassul and shirk should be noted here. First, we do not believe that Prophet and Imams have any independent power for Allah. Second, Allah is the one who assigned the intermediate. The idol worshippers used the wrong intermediate, and there was a reason why it is condemned. Moreover, the idol worshippers believe that the idols can cause harm or render a benefit. Muslims are monotheists, and they know that only Allah can cause harm or render a benefit, but calling the Prophet and Imams with the understanding that they could only be an intermediary to Allah is not polytheism. All Muslims agreed on this point from the time of the Prophet up to the present day, except Wahhabis. They contradict all Muslims with their new creed and accused Muslims of blasphemy.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Morality of Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him. Ibrahim ibn Abbas has reported, I never saw Imam Reza say any unkind words to anyone or interrupt anyone. The Imam would never reject anyone whose needs he could fulfill, nor would he ever stretch his legs before his companions. He never insulted his servants, nor would he ever spit on the ground. He never laughed, but smiled. When he was sitting in a private place, he would have the tablecloth spread before him, making the housekeeper and servants sit with him to share the food. He slept a few hours and kept vigil most of the time. He would fast the first day, mid-month, and the last day of the month, saying, should you fast in this way, it is as if you are keeping fasting all the days. He would give money as charity and did benevolent acts secretly. He would do most of his good deeds at night. None has seen his like in the terms of virtues.
Are the Imams chosen by Allah, God, or the people can choose these Imams for themselves? Now, to give you an overview of what Muslims say, Muslims split up into two main sects. We have the Sunni sect and we have the Shia sect. The Sunni sect says that the Caliph who represents the Prophet or the Imam who leads the Ummah can be selected by the people. That is the opinion of the majority of our Sunni brothers and sisters. Now, in the Shia school of thought, in the Ahlul Bayt school of thought, we believe that only Allah has the right to choose the Imam, not the people. So now, rationally, from an intellectual, rational perspective, why is it that only Allah can choose the Imam? Someone can say, we can gather, we've got a lot of people in society who are wise, and let them choose an imam. Rationally, only God can choose the imam for two reasons, two primary reasons. Number one, the imam must be infallible. Infallible is ma'sum in Arabic, which means error-free, sin-free. You can trust an imam whom you know will not commit a sin, who will always guide you to the right path, just like the prophets of God. Because the imams are a continuation of the message of the prophet. The prophet brought the message, the imams protect the message. So the imams must be infallible. Now, who other than God knows who is infallible and who will stay infallible? Only God can know that. Only God knows that this person is error-free, is sincere, does not commit any sins, will not make any mistakes, and you can count on this person to lead you unconditionally. Only Allah has such knowledge. Therefore, logically, rationally, only God can choose the imam.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin
And with this nice and interesting story, we finish this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us till this time. And till another greetings, we bid you goodbye. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. For your information, when a person asks Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, as to who are the best servants of God, the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir replied, those persons who, when they perform a good deed, become glad. When they commit a bad deed, they ask the forgiveness of Allah. When they are granted, they thank for it. When they are afflicted and grieved, they exercise patience. And when they get angry, they forgive the faults of others.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin al-Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There are many traditions that show that there is a conflict between certain things or ideals or attributes. That one thing leads to the defect of something else. The word in Arabic is known as afa or afat. It's very difficult to translate into English, but basically it is that thing that brings down or negates or nullifies or makes void that thing which is in contrast to it. So it basically contrasts the opposing side to it. And there are many traditions that mention these type of things. So in this tradition that we would like to mention today to our dear listeners is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and speaks about this afa or this bane of religion. That when a person wants to follow a religious life, he wants to stay on the straight path, he wants to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is one of those things that causes him to deviate? It takes him away from that particular straight path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and causes him and his religion to fall. According to this tradition, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the bane of religion is desire, hawa, these low self baseless desires that we as human beings have, and these are many. For example, we have desire for wealth, we have desire to be rich, we have the desire for position, we have desire for power, we have desire for our needs, our physical as well as, intimate needs, and so on and so forth. It has these things. Why? Because religion guides these things. It, puts it into its proper place. For example, when it comes to wealth, religion tells you have to pay zakat, you have to pay khums. There's a person who desires wealth will say that, why do I have to give my money? Position is the same. If a person desires position, there is a way and a proper way to do it, and there's a proper way to stay there, and there's a proper way to rule or govern or to kind of direct those who are under you. Religion guides all of this. He puts it in its proper place. When a person has no religion and all he has is these desires, or even if he believes in the religion, but his desires are stronger and kind of becomes overpowering over his religion, everything falls away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight and narrow, inshaAllah, and to make us of those who set our desires on the path that religion has corrected or has structured for us. InshaAllah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh, Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتب.
رتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear audience, today in the first part, we are going to listen to the recitation of verses 13 to 15 of Suratul Isra, recited by Sheikh Kamel Yusuf Al-Bahtimi. Let's enjoy it. Dear audience, you just listened to the recitation of verses 13 to 15 of Surah Al-Isra, recited by Sheikh Kamil Yusuf Al-Bahtimi, the outstanding Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Bahtimi, he's reciting these verses in the riwayah of Khalaf an Hamza. You know, sometimes some people may think that the reciter is reciting the Quran incorrectly. Like, why is he reciting it like this? Why is this haraka different? Why is he, like, pronouncing certain letters that have to be pronounced with tafkhim in hafs are pronounced with tarqiq?
This
is because,
way, actually.
Yes, this is ikhtilaful qira'at or riwayat. There's
a difference between
the riwayat. So it's important that listeners, they know that this is not incorrect. This is a different riwayat. Different riwayas could have different rules of tajweed. And
yes,
sometimes even the halakha could be different. But the point is that the riwayat, the things that are written are the same. Just the halakha could be different. The pronunciation could be different. But the text of the Quran and the writing of the Quran is the same for all riwayat, mostly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the reason some say that this thing has occurred, this ikhtilafu riwayat in Qira'at has occurred, is that at that time there was no dots, okay, for certain letters.
Mm-hmm.
There were no dots.
Yes.
For example, for ba and ta, there were no dots. Or there were no harakas. We didn't have fatha. Later, these were invented so that the reader could know what he's reciting. Because, you know, at that time, they used to memorize the Qur'an, and they could read the Qur'an without the harakat and without the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they were used to, just like in Arabic, in normal Arabic, they don't write the harakat. In the Qur'an, they do, because it's important that we recite it correctly.
Yes.
So we have وَكُلَّ إِنسَانِ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ. This is called sect. When there is a sakin letter followed by a hamzatul qat.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You should do sect on that sakin letter.
That is pause, actually.
Yes. Unless it's the last word or phrase that you are reading.
Mm-hmm.
You would do naql. You would do nabr if that happens. Okay?
Yes.
For example, walarb. If that's the word that you want to stop at.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Walar. We don't say wal. Okay. At least in some riwayat, it's like this. It could be different in other riwayat that are similar to Hamza, to
mm-hmm.
Khalaf an Hamza.
Khalaf an Hamza.
Another one is that a really obvious one is the imala. The imala means inclination. Inclining
toward
the alif ul-mad to ya-ul-mad. In Khalaf and Hamza, we have only one kind of imala, which is imala tul-kubra, which means we have 50% alif ul-mad and 50% ya-ul-mad.
And when does it occur?
It mostly occurs whenever we have zawatul ya.
Mm-hmm.
The ya's
without dots.
Without dots that are which are actually like an alif. Okay?
Yeah, and there's a small alif above it, actually.
That's right. Now, examples in these verses, we have يَلْقِيهُ. Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi, he said كِتَابًا يَلْقِيهُ مَنْشُورًا. Another one is كَفِي بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ.
That is كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ.
كَفَى كَفِي. Okay, which is, this is imala. And the other rules are pretty much the same for Khalaf and Hafs.
So alif ul mad inclines to ya ul mad.
Another one, which was ukhri, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
This imala turns the ra into a muraqqaq ra. to Ra, which has Tarkhi, because it's impossible to pronounce a letter with Imala with Tafkhim. Actually, it is possible, but
in some Ravayas, I think.
No, even in Khalaf, it's possible, but the degree of Tafkhim becomes really low. For Ra, it becomes Tarkhi. For example, Yatlghi, Ghain is a letter of Tafkhim.
Yes.
But the Imala lowers the Tafkhim a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we still have Tafkhim in some letters which have Zawatul Ya. Ukhri. Okay? We don't have, in Hafs, you would say Ukhra. Ukhra.
Ra with Tafkhim, actually.
Yeah, but the other rules are the same mostly. These are just some small differences that you could tell that this is not Hafs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, some similarities that we have.
And the final point, brother?
The final point is that this is a very simple rule that we have. It's one of the ways of doing waqf, okay, which is waqful ibdal. Waqful ibdal means that something changes into something else, okay, while doing waqf. And that is in the word rasula. Actually, all of these verses at the end, we have tanween al-fath followed by a alif al-mad. So we have waqful ibdal. Rasula, manshura.
Rasulan becomes Rasulullah.
Yeah. Hasiba, and so on and so forth.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
This hadith is from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. This is a famous hadith, and I very much love this hadith. لو مات من بين المشرق والمغرب. If, God forbids, for any reason, all people die from the east to the west. Inshallah, this doesn't happen, but if it happens, God forbids, if all people die, لَمَسْتَوْحَشْتُ. Imam Zainul Abidin says, I will not feel lonely. But there is a condition. بَعْدَ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْقُرْآنُ مَعِي. If Quran is with me, I will not feel lonely. Okay? Everyone should check himself or herself. And I should be the first person checking myself. What is giving us comfort in dunya? If you are a person that when is with the Quran, reading Quran, reflecting on the Quran, if you feel comfortable, for example, no one is at home, okay? If we feel comfortable with reading Quran and that gives us sukoon, that's a very good sign. But if you feel that you are lonely and you have to either phone someone or switch on the TV or, you know, listen to your music in order to get rid of that loneliness, then that's a problem. Unfortunately, many times, in order to feel comfortable, we look just for someone to make noise, or someone to keep us busy, someone to kill us our time. Yeah? Quran may not look attractive. It's a problem. But Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, if I have only Quran with me, I don't feel lonely. And this also means that even when people are around, your main source of comfort should be not people, should be Quran or good qualities of people. For example, if they are mu'min, if they are, you know, alim, if they have good qualities, that's good. But just, you know, there is a human being next to me, this is not enough.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء
اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء. Oh Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. And I also ask you by your strength through which you dominate everything and towards which everything is humble and before which all things are lowly. A phrase from a supplication stated by an infallible Imam's conscious heart and mind reads, Surely you are the God to whose strength everything is capitulated and humble. You are able to do anything to your creatures and dominate any of them. You are the one who created all the things and have control over all of them. You are the master of all things, and there is no God except you. You are the generous and the mighty. Now, granting the exigency of a humble and weeping servant on a Thursday night is rather simple and easy for the one who has dominated everything with his infinite power, and to whose strength everything is submissive. And it is absolutely effortless for him to somehow manipulate his various agents in the heavens and in the earth to grant his servants worldly and heavenly demands. Is it possible that a heart broken, who calls Allah by his mercy and strength, and who knows nothing about him, remain unfortunate? Of course it's not. Never would such a thing happen. It is not strange for worldly, incapable beings to be incompetent in fulfilling others' demands. However, Allah's all-sufficient existence and his infinite mercy and strength obliges the fulfillment of the supplication In accord with servant's expediency and his own wisdom, we read in the 13th supplication of Sahifa Sajjadiyya, "You have attributed your creatures to poverty, and they entirely need you. Therefore, one who asks you to compensate the shortcomings of his life and alter his poverty to richness has indeed turned to the precise position and the right one to obtain his need. And one who asks his exigency from one of your creatures has certainly deprived himself and does not deserve your favor."
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy, which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
Then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continues saying, "I eagerly follow the path toward you, and I only hope and believe in you. I know that what I ask you is easy before your strength, however difficult it may be to me. And I realize that what I need is so trivial for you, however significant it may be for me. Your generosity does not become narrow by anyone's exigency, and it is by your bounty which is above all other generosities." So when we recite this part, we should know that the world and its beings that were nothing and did not even deserve a reference became beings by His will, by Almighty Allah's will, and they continue existence under His mercy and strength. They are not independent of Allah. They are basically poor and humble before Him. وَخَضَعَ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ means everything is humble to His power. وَذَلَّ لَهَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ before which all things are lowly. A human being is not worthy of exhibiting power and pride before Almighty Allah's strength, because his body is as trivial as a handful of soil. His soul is but a moment of existence, and his mind is incapable of knowing even a tiny atom. So a human cannot separate himself before Allah, the one whose mercy has surrounded all his life. Otherwise, it causes him loss and deprivation from Almighty Allah's mercy, and as a result, doomed punishment. So, we are done talking about the two phrases of this dua, and we will inshallah talk about the next part, وَبِجَبَرُوتِكَ الَّتِي غَلَبْتَ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, in the next program. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is الرحمن.
Allah,
who is المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails to our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadli, from your program, Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio, with our dear and esteemed guest, Sheikh Murtada Karimi. Sheikh Karimi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us, dear Sheikh. Last time we spoke about factors that lead to a blessed life. And you mentioned both some, some actual deeds that we can do, like helping others by lending them money. But also there you said that there was a secret spiritual hidden aspect of this barakah that can take on many, many forms, both making your money go along further, but also increasing your money. And there's many, many forms of this barakah and blessing. You also said that